Life as a Freelancer, podcast brought to you by Times Live, where we dive into the world of freelancing, uncovering the highs, lows, and everything in between. I am your host, Noctula Quella. Today, we're tackling a topic that affects many of us in the freelance world, work-life balance and mental health. It's a delicate dance, isn't it? Balancing passion, productivity, and personal well-being to help us navigate this complex terrain. I'm joined by the incredibly talented Tendani, a freelance journalist and writer with a deep passion for mental health. Welcome, Tendani, my girl. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. It's such a pleasure.
It's an absolute pleasure. And I know you come from the north of Joburg, so it's quite a few kilometers. Thanks for coming.
Of course. It's worth it.
Definitely. Sure. So, Tendani, as a freelancer with a decade of experience, congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Undoubtedly faced your fair share of challenges when it comes to balancing work and life. Can you possibly share a bit about your journey and how you've navigated this?
Sure. So I actually only started freelancing last year in 2023. But before then, I worked in newsrooms. I've worked as a counselor, which is very different from my specialty or what I studied.
Yeah.
But I think working for as a freelancer obviously differs from working in a full-time environment.
Mm.
I found that when I was working full-time, it was actually easier for me to establish a work-life balance because even though there were times where we had to work overtime,
yeah,
you know, obviously in a newsroom, you work far more hours than you probably would in a 9-to-5 normal job. So
yeah.
I think that having the time to go home and to stop thinking about work once I was at home was much easier than when I became a freelancer because I work from home.
Yeah.
I have tried co-working spaces in the past, but I sort of, it depends on the income flow, of course.
Yeah.
So I really struggle to switch off, I think, at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And that I sometimes feel like I oscillate between being really, really productive and then just not productive at all. You know, it's two extremes.
Mm.
So I think that navigating it can be tricky. But yeah, we just try. We try every day.
It's literally trial and error. I actually completely relate to what you're saying because usually my Mondays are very slow. So this is one of the most productive Mondays I've had in a while. Because in my mind, I've sort of like programmed my mind to start my week on a Tuesday. So some days are really good. Some days are just, you know?
Of course, yeah. And we can give ourselves maybe even like 4-day long weekends.
Yeah, literally. But also, it's okay to give yourself grace and just get back on the wagon.
100%.
Yeah.
I think I'm very deadline driven. I know that. So I know that if I have a deadline, I'm able to do the work that I need to do. It's just that if things are in a while, that's when I really struggle to actually get down to it. So I'll be so productive when the deadline is looming.
Mm.
But before then, you know, and it's this false belief that because I can create good work and be deadline driven, I continue to sort of go in that pattern.
Yeah.
And it's very hard to break it unless there's some sort of failure that is involved in being deadline driven, if that makes sense.
Did you pick that habit in varsity?
Yes, 100%.
Because I relate. Oh my gosh, I really relate. And it's so it's such a struggle to get yourself out of those habits as an adult, you know?
For sure.
Where you're just procrastinating, you know, that actually on the 5th of August, I have to submit this, so I'm starting on the 1st.
Exactly, 100%. And it's hard as a journalist, you know, because you also have to think about interviews and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
So I can't be messaging or emailing or calling some sort of, you know, medical professional, for example, and saying, hi, sorry, my deadline is in 2 days' time. Please, can I interview you at a slot? Quick, contacting medical professionals 2 days before your deadline isn't really very professional practice. So I really have to try to think in advance, but I think that thinking about a project is also work.
Yeah.
You know, if you're thinking about your writing as opposed to actually practically doing it, at least there is some sort of thought process going on, even though it might be delayed. The practical process might be delayed.
But also your bills, girl. Your bills will remind you that you have work to do.
100%. The bills, of course. Yeah, for sure.
And what are some of the challenges that you faced working as a freelancer?
Okay, so I think that the challenges, of course, are financials, as you said.
Yeah.
I think that obviously some months are so much better than others. I have had months where I can't pay rent until, you know, the 25th.
Mm.
Luckily, I've had an understanding landlord, but it is really, really not great to set that precedent and to be like, sorry, there's literally no income because either I haven't done enough work or a client hasn't paid, which is obviously a struggle that a lot of us face where, of course, the client doesn't feel the pressure that we are feeling in our lives. So they will put it off and you can't nag because you don't want to seem unprofessional. So I think that's one of it. I think that's one of the challenges is the income thing. And then obviously mental health, as we are speaking here on this podcast, I think that just reminding myself that I have to take care of myself before anything else is a struggle for me because I tend to overlook my mental health.
Sure.
Especially when things are going really good, you know, so when things are just when I feel good and I feel like I don't need to go for that walk or like I don't need to eat three meals a day, I think that's where the problem lies because it's just in a blink of an eye, then my mental health is struggling because I haven't been putting into place the things that I know are good for me,
and
the things that I know are healthy for me. And then, things just get very, very chaotic when that happens.
Completely relate. That's very relatable. The finances aspect, like this year has actually been very difficult on my end, like because I've been doing projects. So obviously you can't really plan and, you know, certain things fall short. So I completely relate.
Yeah.
And in terms of like mental health, it's also a personal struggle. But for me, I think being active actually helps me a lot.
For sure.
So there's weeks, but there's weeks where I'm just like, I actually just want to be in bed. And I feel so horrible. It's like the entire world is against me when it just takes me getting out of bed and just taking a walk or whatever the case is, you know?
100%.
So it's a common struggle, actually.
Exactly. I actually shared a meme. I've told all my professionals in my life, mental health professionals, that literally the sun, it's just the sun. The sun is such a great resource.
Literally.
And I don't use it enough. I will go out, I'll feel so bad and like life is the worst and, you know, everything is against me, you know, the world is against me. And then I will go out into the sun for 10 minutes. And that changes everything. I think this is adulting, actually.
Literally,
just realizing that the sun is such a great resource and exercise and eating properly, you know?
No, the sun truly gives life. I really agree with what you're saying.
Yeah, for sure.
And tell me about Librite. Am I pronouncing it?
Librite.
Yes. Librite. So was Librite something that came from you dealing with like mental issues? How did it come about?
Yeah, so it actually, Librite came about when I was in rehab. I have a history of substance abuse. So when I was in rehab, I volunteered afterwards. I was in a long-term rehabilitation center. So it was a year on the program. Then I did a year of volunteering.
Yeah.
So while I was volunteering, I would come into contact with all the different programs. There were four different programs because the adults, are separated, the males and the females, and then the youth are also separated, the boys and the girls.
Yeah.
So I started to do these therapeutic writing groups with them.
Nice.
And then I became a counselor and I continued it then. So when I left that rehab, I decided that I would like to open it up to the public.
Mm-hmm.
So I lived in Cape Town last year briefly for 6 months. The winter, I cannot do the winter.
It's so nippy.
It's just grey and the rain. I also am just such a Joburg person.
Yeah.
So I moved back, but I had my first group there for the public, and it was actually just such an amazing thing because I hadn't ever done it for non-addicts.
Yeah.
So just seeing that they could also benefit, and they were so open to it. And I think that's also the difference, is that they were paying for the service, where they were coming willingly and because they really want to benefit out of it.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah, it's been really amazing since then to see it grow and to see help people from all walks of life.
Yeah, that's amazing. And like, what do you vision? What's your vision for it? I know some people get annoyed by the 5-year plan. I think it's a great initiative, but what do you foresee for it?
So I have actually just gotten my first client, so to speak, for the workshop.
Yeah.
So I am going to be hosting it at a mental health institution, psychiatric hospital. So that's pretty much where I see it going, is to actually get clients to come on, organizations to hire me for even stuff like team building. Like, it could help for corporate team building.
Yes.
It could bring teams together in a way that, you know, a day of golf couldn't really. And so I just see it growing in that way, that it helps more and more people through the help of organizations who hire me for the service.
I think that's definitely achievable. And what's the handle? I follow it on Instagram, but I want you to say it.
So the handle is at Liberite, LibriteZA. So at LibriteZA, I would love for anyone to follow. Anyone can join. It is for writers and non-writers alike. So if it sounds like it's up your stream, then definitely come along.
Yeah. Awesome. So we have a similar background. I also was a journalist for a bit. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of people currently, you find that they actually at a certain media house, but they want to break into being a freelancer, but they just don't have the courage. For me, it's easy to say, just do it, because I'm just that person, you know, I'm a just do it girl. Like, what would you say to someone in that predicament?
I think that it's a good idea to start slowly.
Yeah.
So I know that so many of us want to become freelancers. I remember when I wanted to become a freelancer initially, I told my cousin, who has been running her own business, and she's also a writer for a few years.
Yeah.
And she was like, it's not as glamorous as you think. Sure. You know, there are some months when you don't have any income.
Yeah.
And other months where you do have some income. And I was sort of quite arrogant at that time and just thought that would happen to me. I'm going to be fine.
Well,
look at me now. No, but I definitely believe that it is a really great life if you put in the work, obviously, and it takes time. And
it's a long game.
Yeah, it's a very long game.
It's a very long game.
We're not going to be having all these clients and having a stable income from even in the first year, I think it doesn't happen that fast. I've seen a lot of posts about it on LinkedIn, and a lot of people say around their third year, that's when things started to become really just, they had become successful at that point and had a stable income and were making more than they ever envisioned.
Yeah.
So that took about 3 years on average. That seems like the number. Mm. But the advice I'd give to people who want to break out is to just get your own clients, you know, before resigning, try to get a bit of work that you can do in your spare time or your time off.
Yeah.
So that when you make the transition, it's not like you don't have any clients, you have zero clients, and now you have to start from scratch and you don't have an income.
Yeah.
Because it might take a day to get a client. It might take, you know, a month. Mm. So just
have 6 months.
Or even 6 months. Yeah, exactly. So just take it slow and slowly wean yourself off of the full-time income, and then, you know, then make the dive or the leap. Or maybe circumstances might force you to become a freelancer. You know, that's what happened to me. I also couldn't do a 9-to-5 again. So I definitely was just like, okay, I do have one or two things that I'm doing on the side. Mm. Let me just try to make them more of a stable or more of an income based thing.
Yeah.
And luckily I have supportive family, so I think that also
goes
helps
a long way. It goes a very long way
for sure. Yeah, so I was able to live with my mom Obviously, with that, food is a bit less expensive, etc. So I think that really helps, and I feel very privileged to have that sort of support system in my life, because it really does make a difference.
Completely. Like, your story is really relatable. I mean, I'm not going to keep saying this word, but but I completely relate. Yeah. And the media landscape is also changing quite a bit with, like, you know, people are sort of like being forced to join the gig economy and and freelancing and all of that stuff. And I think that's what inspired me to like think of a platform of this sort, you know, just to see how we all navigate.
100%. And Nox, how long have you been freelancing?
Since 2021, actually. I think it was through circumstances, and I am more of like an entrepreneurial person.
Yeah.
So I was just like, actually, this works for me. I've had some good moments, some really low. So yeah, it's push and pull.
Amazing. This is the third year, girl.
I'm going on the third year, so I'm about to be a millionaire. And exactly. It's been amazing. It's been so great to have you. What are your last words for our fellow freelancers?
Last words? Okay, well, I would just like to encourage freelancers to really just take care of themselves.
Yeah.
I think just, take care of yourself. Do whatever you need to do to protect your mental health, because I have experienced not taking care of my mental health, and then I have to miss weeks of work because I have to book myself into a psychiatric hospital. You know, it's this is a thing that is a reality for me in my life because of my depression and my anxiety. So not everyone has these mental illnesses, but I think that we definitely overlook them, and we definitely don't place enough importance on them. So take a break from the work. If you need to go for a walk, go for a walk. That's the beauty of freelancing. And this is why I got into it, is that I could just go for a walk if I wanted to go for a walk, or go for a coffee if I wanted to go for a coffee.
Yeah.
You know, or go to the gym if I wanted to go to the gym. So, I think keep on just looking after yourself. Keep on pushing. And, you could do it. Everyone has the potential to be an amazing freelancer. So
Totes.
Love it.
Thank you so much, Tindani. It's been amazing. And that's a wrap from my side. I hope you found Tindani's advice helpful. If you're struggling with work-life balance or mental health, remember, you're not alone. Seek support, practice self-care, and prioritize your well-being. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast for more episodes on freelancing and personal growth. We are available on Ayono FM, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Do follow on Spotify as well. Ciao, ciao.